O Lord, may the words which are spoken and the thoughts that we think in our minds be acceptable unto you. Amen. When I was in grade school in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a Lutheran school, by the way, at recess, the teacher would often choose the two most athletic boys to select from all of the class the members of their softball or kickball teams. I felt privileged to be chosen either fifth or sixth, but inevitably, it was the most unathletic, smartest boy who was chosen last. I didn't think about what that must have felt for him until about 2 weeks ago, when I was walking my dog, Daisy, near the school that is close to our home. And I saw scrawled on the sidewalk in chalk these words: "Why can't I be chosen first sometime?" That child who wrote those words on the sidewalk no doubt felt unwanted, undervalued, overlooked, and even not loved. I conclude that choosing teams the way it was done in my era, and apparently is still done in some cases today, is wrong and hurtful. I read a book recently by David Sedaris, the comedian. He wrote of a day when he opened a piece of mail and read a letter from a person who attended one of his comedy shows. The person wrote, "I thought you were better than that. I really think your show was lousy." Then he read other angry letters and emails criticizing his performances. Following that, he turned to a friend and asked him, "Please say something nice about me." The friend responded, "Like what?" Sedaris replied, "I shouldn't have to tell you. Think of something." Then his friend said, "But I don't want to give you a fat head." With that, Sedaris confessed, "My head is like the size of an onion right now. I'm begging you, please enlarge it." "Okay," the friend said, "you're persistent. How's that?" Oh, how people can let us down. And I am certain that I have caused people in my life to be disappointed and left waiting for some form of affirmation from me. I too have let people down, causing them to feel unappreciated or even unnoticed. And so David writes here in Psalm 17 these words: "Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings." David here is feeling attacked on all sides by his enemies. He's feeling unappreciated. He's feeling unloved. And so he turns to God with confidence. "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me." I think you and I have at times turned to someone in our life and have said to them, "You're the apple of my eye." What that means is they're loved, they're cherished, they're special in our eyes. Here, David rejoices that he is loved and cherished and is special in the sight of God. The apple of the eye is actually a reference to the pupil. The small opening in the iris that lets light through to the retina. Metaphorically, it could be more literally translated as the little man in the eye. And so if you would get close to a person that you're looking at, you could look at the pupil in his eye and you could see a reflection of yourself. And that person who is looking at you would see a reflection of you, of him in your eye. So here in Psalm 17, David is saying, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." He's asking God to never take his eyes off of him. We human beings can't constantly keep our eyes on another person. If you remember when you had a baby in your household, the baby probably always wanted you or your spouse to look at him or her. They always wanted to be the center of attention. And that seems to be something that we're born with. We want to be the center of someone's attention. And that's what was so sad about the words that were written on the sidewalk. That person didn't feel as if he or she was the center of anyone's attention. In this text, we are assured that God never takes his eyes off of us. In God's eyes, we are noticed. We are valued highly. We are wanted and loved. We are the apple of his eye. And if I can be so bold, we can say that we are the first to be chosen by God. This is the last Sunday of the church year. We can think of the last day, the final judgment by God. Because of what Jesus, God's Son, has done for us, even though we are sinful, we have been washed clean, and we appear as white as snow. And so God can't take his eyes off of us. He delights in us. We are without stain. He keeps his focus on us now and forever. But if God is focused on you, how can he be focused on me at the same time? The reason is he's God. He can do that. I have twice been privileged to go to Holden Village on Lake Chelan in Washington. The nearest city of any size is Wenatchee. When I was there, they were harvesting the apples, and there were thousands of bushels of apples that I could see on trucks or in the yard of the farmer. And so it will be on that final day, we, the apples of God's eye, who have been washed clean, are going to be harvested and brought into the perfect presence of God forever and ever. And that's why the words of verse 15 ring so beautifully to me. They read this way: "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." When we're in heaven, God's focus is going to be totally upon us. In the meantime, it is important that you and I keep our focus on God and on the promises that he speaks to us. Because if we are distracted, and there are so many things that can distract us, we might become like that child who wrote the words on the sidewalk. We might think that we are unloved, unnoticed, unappreciated. But the good news is that there will be a day when we can give thanks and nothing will take our attention off of God, who wants us, values us, deems us special, and desires us to be on his team forever and ever. Amen.